kind of welcome everyone tonight. I want you guys to turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel 17. And we're going to talk tonight, verse 21. We're going to talk tonight about David and Goliath, but it's not just about David and Goliath, and you could preach on the story for months. There's so much meat in this word, and there's so much that you could talk about. Tonight, as we go through this, I would ask that you allow me some liberty, not to stray from the Word of God, but to bring what I feel that we might be missing behind the scenes, and you'll know what I'm talking about in a moment. In 1 Samuel 17:21, it says, "For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel.' Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him in the manner, saying, 'So shall it be done for the man who kills him.'" And in verse 25, it says, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, give his father's house an exemption from taxes." Now, these were God's chosen people, and David knew it. And I believe, in verse 26, that David was shocked by the lack of faith of these people, because they were the Israelites, the army of God, the people of God, and he was shocked by the lack of faith and couldn't believe what the king was willing to offer for anybody that went against this man. And so he asked the people, because he couldn't believe it, he said, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And that's God's people. And we're God's people. And we need to see that as we go through this. And in verse 27, the people confirmed what David asked, what he heard. The people confirmed that, but David still appears to be in disbelief. He didn't understand that, because if you look in verse 28, we'll get there in a minute, in verse 28, Eliab, David's brother, his oldest brother, heard David, and he heard what David was saying and what David was speaking to the other men. And he was angry about that. And he accuses David of being prideful and disrespectful to the men in the army. And I don't believe that he was being prideful or disrespectful. I believe that that's not the case at all. David was the youngest son, and he hears what will be given to the man who defeats the Philistine. And he may be excited about this because he hears what's going to be done, but look at what he does next. In verse 28, I'll read that and then we'll go to 29. "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.'" And this is what I want you to see here. "And David said, 'What have I done now? Is there not a cause?'" David responds and says, "What have I done now? And I imagine him looking over at the Philistine camp and pointing out Goliath, and he says, "Is there not a cause?" David sees the enemy of God, and no one's willing to stand up and fight. He sees the enemy coming against God's people, and everyone's backing down. No one's willing to take the charge, to take up the challenge, to fight. Could it be that his brother said this because David stirred up trouble in the past? Or could it be that by faith, David did big things, and his brother looked at things with worldly eyes, when David looked at things through spiritual eyes and believed God for big things, and his brother would, you know, was jealous and said, "No, you can't do that." And David did it anyway, and so he felt his brother was rebellious because he believed God for big things. And so here it is coming back up again. And we'll see this in a minute. Now in verse 30 it says, "Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him and said as the first ones did." Now, in verse 30, David blows his brother off and asks again, "What should be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He still can't believe it. So I'm telling you, he asked a third time, what's the deal here? What's going on? Is this not the army of the living God? Is this not the Israelites, God's chosen people who God has defended and stood up for? Does anyone not realize that? He just can't believe it. And the people answered as the first did. And now let's look at verse 31. "Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him." Now I want us to see in this picture, before we continue, when God's servant speaks words of faith, people hear it, and it's reported to the king. And I think that's awesome. And we need to keep that in mind, because as he was speaking, he was going about asking people, what's going on? Speaking in faith, and that word got around to the king, and he called for him. And the army of Israel heard what David was saying, and they told Saul. And Saul doesn't know David and has no idea who he is or what he looks like, but he hears the reports and has hope in what he's heard. So he sends for David, which David goes before the king. In verse 32 it says, "Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine.'" You know, if you look, it says, Saul sent for David, then David said to Saul. When David goes before Saul, it doesn't say that he went in with, you know, this entourage of people, the captain of the guards or whoever that were to bring him before the king. It doesn't say that they introduced David, that there was some big ritual that they had to go through. It doesn't say that Saul greeted David or asked David to come in. It says, "Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" David walked in, and I believe that he was really mad at this point, because not one of God's chosen people would stand up, would fight, or be willing to fight. And David didn't give Saul a chance to speak. He walked in to the king and said, "I hear the call. Here I am. I have the faith. I'll do it." And so often in our circumstances and our situations that we hear God's call, we hear God telling us something, we hear God speaking to us saying that you can do this, you can go forward, you can do this. And when Saul sees David and finally has a chance to speak, in verse 33, let's look at 33. He says, "And Saul said to David, 'You were not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and a man of war. He is a man of war from his youth.'" So, here's David. All these people around him, the captain of the guards, the leaders of the army, all of these people. You know, it wasn't just King Saul standing there by himself in one little room. He goes in and he says, "I will go. I will do it. Like we stand up in faith and say, I can get through this. I can do it. I have faith. And then someone says, no, you can't.
Sure.
You can't do it. Look at you. You're weak. You're scrawny. This is too big for you. Could you imagine the king saying this to David and the soldiers who have trained all of their life standing there mocking, laughing at this scrawny little shepherd boy? He said, you're not able to go up and fight against the Philistine, for you're a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. I just think about that, him walking into the king's presence and all of these people saying that. The king responding like he did, and the humility that may have flashed over David for a moment, hearing those words when he said, I can do it by faith. And I'm sure it was a very, very uncomfortable situation. But David believed and had faith. In verse 34, and I'll read 34 through 36, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. The enemy is coming against God's people. That's what he's saying. God has delivered me from the lion and the bear. And I really like this. He says, when they came and took the lamb, when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. When it arose, he grabbed the lion or the bear by its beard, stood face to face with this enemy, this attack, this demonic spirit, whatever it is in your life. God is calling us to stand face to face, by faith, take control and kill it in the name of Jesus. Don't allow it to kill you. Don't allow it to destroy you. Don't allow it to take you away. The enemy desires to come against the lamb, to come against the flock, to come against the sheep, to take us, to drag us away into the depths of darkness, away from God's people, away from where we get fed, where we're sharpened, where we come together. And he says, no, I stood up. I stood firm. I slayed it. But what I want us to see in this, he says, I did this, I did this, I did this. And in verse 37, it says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and who delivered me from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. You know, David, not only did David give God the glory for delivering from the lion and bear, with all of the army and all these people listening and watching, David says to Saul by faith, God has delivered me and God will deliver me from this Philistine. David had faith. I see him here standing before the king saying, God has done this for me. And I see his brothers looking on, looking at David just in disbelief. Here's their little brother coming from the fields. You know, they're in this army and here he comes along and says, no, I'll do it. When they were all scared, cowering, waiting for someone to have the faith to say, you know what, I'll go up against this big giant. We all have giants in our life. Whether it's a giant or whether it's a circumstance or a situation, we all have stuff that we're dealing with that we just struggle with, that we can't get over, that we're fighting, that we're afraid, that come against us and we don't stand up and grab it and say, enough. You know, the title of this message is This Day. And today is this day. The Bible doesn't promise us tomorrow. It says this day, stand by faith in what God is telling you, what God is giving you, what His promises are. He gives us promises for today to stand. Saul may be listening to David when he was saying these things. He might have looked over at David's brother because he doesn't know David. And when David was talking, he might have saw his brothers nodding their heads to confirm, yes, David's telling the truth. He was out there and a bear took the sheep and we were telling him, man, don't go get that bear. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? And he went out and did it because he believed by faith that was his. It was something that God had given him, his family, that they had the rights to. And so David, by faith, went out and did it. And so this is what I'm thinking, that his brothers may have seen David do some of these things, and they're like, you know, he doesn't listen to us. He's prideful. God saved that sheep from the lion. Now I'm going to go get this bear. And so they're thinking, you know, he's just prideful because he just goes out and does this stuff and does it in his own strength, when they may not realize that he's doing it in God's strength. We don't know. So Saul tells David, go, and the Lord be with you. Now that sounds great, right? The king is telling you, go, and the Lord be with you. But what does Saul do next? Let's look at verse 38 and 39. So Saul, just before, and Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. David is the one that has the faith to defeat the enemy. But Saul is the one telling him how to do it, after he went to Saul and said, I can do it. And so often, when we hear from God, and God gives us a word on how to do something, someone else of the world comes in and says, no, this makes sense. Do it this way. This is how you need to do it. But that's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to some uncomfortable things, but He receives the glory, and He is faithful in what He has called us to. It's not us in our strength, like in verse 37, David said, the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion. The Lord will deliver this Philistine into my hand. But sometimes, guess what? The Lord tells us something, but we need to pull up our bootstraps and get moving and do it and listen to the Lord and not the ways of the world. Verse 40 says, then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went with him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Right here, David stands by faith and says, you've defied them. I don't need to come to you with all of these things. I don't need to use these worldly weapons. I have the Lord my God on my side. He's seen God deliver them in the past. He's seen God do miracles through him. And he believes him this day that God is going to go before him and do a miracle. Imagine, it's not just a story. It's this young, ruddy shepherd boy
And this big, giant Goliath, who we've taught about before, I mean, he's this big, giant, strong guy who trained in military warfare all of his life with a spear and these weapons, and he's coming against this little boy, and Goliath is just in disbelief that the Israelites are sending this little boy out to fight him, and he's thinking, I'm just going to go out and crush this guy. And David, by faith, says, no, you're not. No, you're not. I just believe that this is just amazing, and I'm just shocked about this. When I went through the story today and really read in depth and was picturing this in my mind, this battle taking place, and how you see these battles in our own lives that we're on one side and Satan's enemies are on the other, and they're coming against us, and so often we cower back like these Israelites instead of standing and fighting. We all have situations in our own life that we're defeated in. But we've got to be like David and stand up in faith and fight and say, today, this day, God is going to deliver this into my hand. This day. In 46 through 50 it says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is God in Israel. And the Philistine, Goliath, said to David, I will give you to the birds. But David says, I will give you and the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. I just like that because I was thinking that Goliath says this, and David says, well, I'll up you one. Because my God is true. My God is real. And you can curse me with your little God, but my God is bigger than your God. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And that's what we need to hear. All the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and He will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he swung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. And that's what I want us to see. The battle is the Lord's, and David didn't use the ways of the world, the ways that Saul told him to. Go with this armor on. Go with the sword in your hand. If you're going to do this, if you're going to overcome this, this is the way that you need to do it. This is how I think you should do it. Not the way, not what God put in your heart for you to come and tell me, but this is the way that I think you should do it. And so often we get caught up in our own circumstances, our own situations, and we look to the world for answers to help us, for ways that make sense, because sometimes when we read this word, God tells us something and we're like, that doesn't make any sense. Well, guess what? God doesn't want it to make sense all of the time, because how can He get the glory if it makes sense? God doesn't want that. Now, I want us to key in on three things from this message tonight. And number one is, the enemy tells you that there's no way. Sure. David just finished telling Saul, I can do it. And in verse 33, Saul tells David, no, you can't. It's a picture of the enemy of our soul looking at our situation and our circumstance, our Goliath, if we have one. And when we rise up in faith and we believe God to deliver us, and we have the faith to overcome the situation and the circumstance, the enemy says to us, there's no way, you can't do this. You're not good enough. What then? What then? Do you back down? Do you give up? A lot of people do. And do you say, you're right, I can't. I can't do this. Or do you stand firm in faith and say, I can't do this. But I am a child of God, and I will overcome because greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. And begin to recall the mighty things that God has done for you by faith in the past and say, the Lord has delivered me then, and He will deliver me from this now. Just as David did, recalling, standing before the king, saying, I can do this because I did that. Because God was with me then, and guess what? My God, He's still with me now. And this looks bigger than that, but my God is bigger than any circumstance because He is with me and He is faithful to the end. Number two, the world wants you to do it, but wants you to do it the worldly way, not a way that makes in a way that wants you to do it the worldly way and in a way that makes sense to the world. But David, he took off the armor of the earthly king because he knew by faith that he had the armor of the King of Kings. The world will want you to solve things using methods that make sense, but that's not how God works. God wants you to come to Him in prayer and with faith in Him, not faith in self or worldly ways. Here in Ephesians 13, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. We have the armor of God if we believe by faith. We don't need the world. We don't need the worldly methods that they give us. We don't need that. God wants us, like I said, to come to Him in prayer and in faith. Not faith in self or worldly ways. And three, realize mighty battles aren't won by your own strength. And I know that as men, we sometimes struggle with that more than you ladies because we want to do it. We want to get it done. We don't want to be sick. We don't want to be tired. We don't want to be weak. We want to be the problem solvers to fix things. And some of you ladies might do that as well. But so often us men try to do things in our own strength. But guess what? Realize the battles are not won in your own strength. They're won by prayer, faith, and dependence on God. We must be willing to admit that we are weak and can't win battles on our own. And there's so many things in our own lives that we struggle with, that we deal with, that we think that we can overcome if we just keep trying, and that's not the way it works. We need to realize that we can't do it. I don't care how big the situation is or how small it is, God is calling you to lay it down and give it to Him and by faith stand against it, grab it by the beard, and slay that this day. God is able. He is willing. Are you willing to ask Him? Are you willing to believe by faith that God can do it? He's not a liar. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve the same God. We shorten God's arm. We make God weak. We must be willing to admit that we're weak and that we can't win battles on our own. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Whether Satan's trying to bring destruction or God is trying to bring character development in your life, we can give God the glory in our situation because His grace and His strength is sufficient. When we are personally weak, we can be strong in Jesus. And we must always give God the glory, as David did in verse 37 when he said, God did this. God delivered me. So when God delivers you, give God the glory, because it wasn't you, it was Him. Put on the whole armor of God, and this day, stand. Believe by faith, and God will deliver you.
Amen.